Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I'm here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to your healthiest weight and get on with your life. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. And to that end, the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. The real problem is not food. The real problem is what is eating at you. So sorry for the late start. We were trying to resolve our technology. I thought I was going to be able to be heard on Instagram today, but I guess not. I can be heard. My callers cannot be heard. But we will get this resolved, and big thanks to Ronan, my heroic engineer, who is trying to help me out from home. So thank you, Ronan. If you would like to join me here today, the number in the studio, the number here in my home makeshift studio is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. Give me a call. Let me know what is eating at you. What is weighing on you? I'm here to help. So, one of the things that I'm hearing a lot today and yesterday and for weeks is how helpless people feel. How helpless they feel about this virus, how helpless they feel about the response to the virus, how helpless they feel about social unrest. They feel helpless. Big seismic shifts are happening in our world, in our society, in our health. And there's this sense that you can't do anything about it. There's very little that you can do. And that's why sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm doing a lot with my time off. I'm writing, you know, 3 novels, and I just started learning the piano, and I'm doing. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's one of the responses to helplessness. And sometimes there's sort of a driven quality to it. Helplessness is what we're all feeling because of this COVID-19 situation. We are feeling helpless. The only thing we can do is protect ourselves and each other by wearing a mask. By the way, I got mask shamed. I got mask shamed the other day. I was walking in my neighborhood with my BFF, and this guy who was not wearing a mask said to us, isn't it hard to breathe while you're wearing a mask? Now, what we should have said, looking back, we should have said, well, you know, it's really hard to breathe is when you're on a ventilator. That is really hard. But no, we didn't. My BFF said, yes, it is hard to breathe. And he said, well, why are you wearing that mask? And we said, well, to protect you and me. And he actually got angry with us and told us it was ridiculous that we were wearing a mask, and basically just was irate and angry. And I just thought, wow, that man is so angry because 2 women are wearing masks to protect themselves. What is happening, people? What is happening? I mean, we know what is happening is this division. It's politicized. It's this denial. But it's real. It's real. And the reality is we are helpless. Oh, modern world Zen says, carry a mask with you and offer it to him. Yeah. I don't want to get within 6 feet of that dude, let me tell you. But I hope I never see him again. I have a fairly big neighborhood. I've never seen him before. And I hope I never see him again, because I might not be able to restrain myself and give him a bunch of CDC statistics, and none of which he wants to hear. He doesn't want to believe that it's a real problem. And of course it is. We are helpless against this virus. And helplessness is one of the worst and most awful awful. I can't say awful enough. The most awful experiences that we as humans can have, the sense of helplessness and powerlessness, that there is nothing we can do. And so I've been hearing so many people talk about helplessness and how hard it is to feel helpless. And so I wanted to share with you some thoughts about helplessness. And gosh, I hope you cannot hear the construction that's going outside my window. It's doing a radio show at home, people, while having things done to your house. So hopefully you can hear me and not the construction guys. So helplessness is a feeling that most people cannot bear to experience, either on its own or because it intensifies other painful or upsetting feelings. Being helpless is defined as unable to help oneself, weak or dependent, deprived of strength or power, and incapacitated. And the state of helplessness is connected to vulnerability and dependency, both of which can be extremely uncomfortable. This is what I wrote in my book, extremely uncomfortable. I guess if I were to rewrite my book, and I will change it for the second edition, I would say both of which can be extremely unbearable to be vulnerable and dependent. Addiction specialist Lance Dodas, who you guys might have seen on MSNBC talking about number 45, he's been a mentor to me, and he's a fellow psychoanalyst. He's an author who writes extensively on addiction, and he says people with addictions, now this is him talking about addictions, this is not me talking about food addictions, which I don't believe in anyway. He says the people with addictions are often overwhelmed by helpless feelings and driven to the addictive behavior as a way of reversing the helplessness. So as he explains it, addiction has long been deeply misunderstood in both our culture and clinical practice. Rather than being a reflection of impulsivity or self-destructiveness, which is generally how it's thought of, even by people who feel like addicts, they think they have no willpower, no control, or a result of genetic or physical factors, addiction can be shown to be a psychological mechanism that is a subset of psychological compulsions in general. So what he says is that addictive urges are never random. And when you understand the emotional factors that underlie your behavior, addiction can be mastered. So what does all this mean to you? It means that sometimes when we feel helpless about something big, whether it's the world situation or whether it's something that is big in intensity, we're having troubles in our relationships, in our marriage, we're lonely, we can't see people, we can't hug the people we love, we don't feel connected, we don't feel hope, those are all things that we have no agency over, that we switch the experience of helplessness over these big issues and conflicts and experiences into helplessness over food or something else. Jenny called last week and she talked about her sense of helplessness over rosé wine. So it's a way of managing helplessness that just ends up hurting us. Dr. Dodas proposes that the feeling of helplessness is the foundation of the most painful and upsetting emotions. When you're doing something like eating, you are taking an action. And when I mean eating, I don't mean having lunch or having dinner or having a meal. I mean eating to resolve something emotional, eating to resolve some kind of pain or express it. When you're doing something like eating to resolve emotions, conflicts, you are taking an action, and therefore you are diminishing your sense of powerlessness. Similarly, psychoanalyst Axel Hofer, another one of my awesome mentors, Axel, you're the best. Axel Hofer and Dan Bowie believe that helplessness underlies other intolerable feelings such as incompetence, shame, embarrassment, humiliation, weakness, panic, isolation, rage, and hate. How about that? Oh, you can hear the construction. Sorry, guys. I hope you can hear me louder than the construction. So thought of it this way, helplessness in itself is a traumatic condition. Anger, productivity, withdrawal, and denial are ways of distracting from helplessness. So often that anger is turned on oneself. I can't believe how much I weigh. I can't believe how much I ate. I am so mad at myself as a way of dealing with helplessness. Helplessness is an ultimate, penultimate passivity. Can't do anything. But anger is active. So we'd rather feel active and angry and energized, even if it means hating on ourselves, than we want to feel helpless against situations or people who treat us badly. Active is an active emotion, whereas helplessness is a passive emotion. You can get angry with yourself or your weight. You could be upset with yourself or what you're eating or the amount or what have you, or anything else, drinking, gambling, anything, doing something you don't want to do, not doing something you want to do. You can get mad at yourself for that as a way of avoiding your sense of helplessness because you are in an active state. Productivity is another way of dealing with helplessness. Being busy is a way of turning passive to active. So focusing on achievements, productivity, being a slave driver to yourself, and this is where the, well, during this time of quarantine, I've written 3 novels. I started a screenplay. I also, you know, started an organization and learned French. You know those people? I might be one of those people at times, I admit it. Those people who just turn passive to active by being super, super, super busy. And when you're busy, you don't feel the passivity of helplessness. So these are all strategies to distract from helplessness. Thinking about food, weight, and calories are examples of focusing on doing rather than feeling. Withdrawal is also a way of denying helplessness. If you're avoiding people, if you're, Ronan, I'm getting a message that someone is trying to call in and they're not getting an answer. Wait, I have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. I was just talking about you.
I heard that. Thanks for reminding me about I need to add rosé to my shopping list.
I'm glad you haven't lost your sense of humor during all of this.
No. Something you said really struck a chord with me just now when you were saying, and not even the helplessness, the what people are doing to kind of combat the helplessness by making themselves super busy and like taking courses and learning 7 languages and writing a novel and whatever. And it's interesting that you said that because I have friends who keep calling me to check in, you know, and make sure I'm not drowning in my rosé, you know, and they're like, well, what have you been doing? And I feel pressure to tell them what I've been like. Well, I've been organizing my closets, and it's like they are judging me for. I'm like, why can't I just be doing nothing? I mean, isn't this the time where we can feel like we can do nothing? Because there's not a lot to do. It's like I'm just trying to relax. Because I feel like if I overwhelm myself with taking 7,000 courses and doing all this stuff, that I'm actually going to make things worse for my mental stability.
Yes, you and so you know what's good for you. And for you, relaxing and taking this time to recharge, relax, you know, provided you're not. That's good for you. And know thyself, right? Knowing if you know what's good for you, then that's what you stick to. And you know, I would say, are they judging you? They might be, Or are you judging you through their eyes? I don't know. But if they are judging you, it's probably because you not being busy and learning 17 languages, and now you can speak Swahili and, you know, any like all of that, like, I mean, I've heard people doing some, like learning some interesting languages that they will never use, or they're working on, you know, I've started a YouTube channel and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Apparently they don't sleep. If you yeah. relax, that might put them in touch with their own anxiety about helplessness that they are covering with all of this do, busy, busy, busy. So it's learning. Like, you may be helpless in the face of their judgment. So it's like coming to terms with, okay, I can't change them from being judgmental, but I can change the way I feel about them being judgmental.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I feel very judged, you know, like I'm supposed to be doing all these things. Like, why can't I just be, you know, like you said, recharging, walking my dog, relaxing? Because, you know, honestly, I mean, this whole situation, what you're talking about, helplessness, it's been my whole life I've felt helpless. You know, I grew up with an alcoholic parent, and, you know, you can't fix that. And it's a helpless feeling. And then, you know, in my adulthood, you know, you're faced with a lot of things. And then especially this pandemic has really brought into light the fact that, you know, we are truly helpless in this situation. And we have to come to some sort of, we have to come to terms with that and just find peace with it in a way.
And yes. So, and that's hard.
For me, it's hard. And for me, like when I have a panic attack, that is like the true form of helplessness for me, where your body just like turns on you. And, you know, you just have to kind of ride the wave is how I just, and right now that's what I'm kind of like what I mentally am doing. I'm riding this wave because normally my life is very busy. It's like work and dog and socializing and, you know, traveling, and I can't, other than the dog part, which is the same, I can't do any of those things right now because of the pandemic. So I'm just trying to, you know, ride the wave. And for that, for me, it means not overwhelming myself, because that is what causes me to feel helpless and then in turn have panic and anxiety and, you know, and all that stuff.
And that is a healthy attitude.
And drink rosé, lots of rosé.
Well, look, as long as you are, I would say, as long as you're recognizing what's, and I know you're kind of laughing, kind of joking, kind of not, I imagine. But as long as you are recognizing why you are turning to that rosé, just as I tell people, well, it's not, you know, that you're eating cookies or ice cream, it's why. And then addressing that. So if you're feeling lonely and you're feeling anxious, and rosé alleviates that, well, rosé is not the problem. Rosé is the solution to the problem. It's just maybe not a solution that you want to always rely on. So resolving the loneliness, and there might be no way of dealing with the loneliness in a pandemic, or, you know, and but just having a different relationship to that need and acknowledging it and sort of soothing yourself with words helps you not turn so much to rosé or ice cream or whatever it is that, you know, people are using to help themselves.
Yeah.
And, and if you have friends who are judgmental and you feel bad when you talk to them and they say, well, what are you doing? What are you doing with all this, with the intimation that you should be doing 5,000 things? Maybe those are people you don't want to talk to as often. Or you just change the subject. Instead of having to defend and explain and justify, you could say, I am doing absolutely nothing and I love it. So what's going on with you? When you're in a position where you have to defend yourself to people or explain yourself or justify, it's awful because you're never going to do it. You're going to say, well, it's really good for me to really recharge. And it's someone who organizes themselves as being super productive as a way to deal with their anxiety is never going to go, that's great. You do that. They're going to say, but you should be doing more stuff. And so that's why not wasting your breath and being able to just say, hey, you know what? I'm not even doing anything. Like even I do nothing and I love it. So what about this? That'll shut them up.
I feel like that is what I'm going to start saying. Like I'm making things up. I'm like, well, I walk the dog and I organize I sanitize. I mean, I'm just like making, not that I'm not doing these things, but I am, but it's like, you know.
But you're trying to prove yourself. Like yourself to your friends. I'm organizing my entire house and I'm taking longer walks and I'm doing this and please give me the seal of approval. Well, it's not going to happen. So you give yourself the seal of approval and you say, huh, those people can't be with themselves. I can be with myself. They might not be able to be with themselves. And this is their way of coping. That's their way of coping. It doesn't have to be mine. Jenny, I am so glad that you called and I hope I gave you some food for thought about what's going on.
Yeah, thank you. I always appreciate talking to you. You make me feel better.
I'm so glad. Let me know. Give me a call back next week and let me know about if you have one of those conversations, or even if you don't, call me anyway. And let us know how it goes, how you can have a different tact with these types of friends.
I will. Thank you, Dr. Nina. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Jenny.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Well, Ronan says I have two more callers. So who's up, Ronan? Who's up next? Ronan? Nicole. Nicole, it has been so long. So good to hear from you.
Oh my God, it's so nice to hear your voice. I've been following your posts on Instagram and anything you post just resonates in another way. And I was just reflecting and I feel like I'm not perfect. No one's perfect, but to just feel like I'm more aware, you know, when I'm eating and I'm like, well, it's not what I'm eating. It's what's eating at me.
Yes.
And I saw the article that they published that you're in, which is amazing. And it's just been, I don't know, things are okay. Things are good. You know, I still have my moments. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to relapse or come back, but I'm just trying to be more compassionate and loving with myself. And I know we did some role playing, you know, in the past, and you said something to me like, well, what would you tell to your best friend or someone that you love? And I feel like I'm using that in just different situations that have nothing to do with even food, but just, you know, the psychology of just being loving and compassionate to yourself and acknowledging and just all everything you've taught me has been so useful.
I'm Thank so you. Happy to hear that. And remember that thoughts and beliefs, some of which are conscious and some of which are unconscious, lead to feelings, which lead to behavior. Mm-hmm. So that is why focusing on the behavior gets you nowhere. You have to be able to change the way you think, change your thoughts, change your beliefs, both the ones that are that you are aware of and the ones that are hidden from you, that are in your unconscious. It changes the way you feel. And when you change the way you feel, you're less likely to say, focus on weight, food, and all of that as a way of distracting from uncomfortable things, and learn new ways of being responsive to yourself when you feel bad. No one has ever been mean to themselves and made themselves feel better.
Yeah. That's so true. And I think one of the things that I am still struggling with sometimes is sometimes I can't pinpoint what's eating at me. So I don't know what's actually going on.
Oh, okay.
Or how to solve it.
Well, here, if you don't know what's eating at you, two things to do. One is to say, if I weren't focusing on this food, mm-hmm. weight, whatever, mm-hmm. my body, what yeah. would I be worried about? What is it I don't want to know? What do I know that I don't want to know? Mm, what is okay. it that I'd be worried about? Because you know what? There's that voice, right? When you just don't want to know something, to kind of know it, mm-hmm. but you just distract from it. What is it I don't want to know?
Mm-hmm.
And the other is my food mood formula. Because I developed mm-hmm. my food mood formula because people get so quick at focusing on food.
Yeah.
That they bypass what's going on within. So
yeah.
if you're focusing on, like, if ice cream is your thing and it's creamy and smooth, that means
yeah.
comfort.
Yeah.
If it's filling, bulky, kind of pasta, pizza, hamburgers, big, you know, mm-hmm. food that takes up space, that's about loneliness or filling a void. And anything crunchy, mm-hmm. chips, pretzels, whatever, is
frustration,
which is a form of anger. Anger, which is irritation, which is, you know, irritation, frustration, annoyance, all of those things.
Mm.
And remember, why do we go to food in the first place? This is so important to remember, because food is associated in our psyche as our very first experience of being fed is connected with being held as infants, as babies, being held, feeling safe, feeling that sort of blissful connection with the person who's mm. feeding us. And that's why in our mm. psyche, food equals like a safe relationship. We don't mm. think of it that way consciously. We just think, ooh, mm. I want that. But when we right. think about comfort food, we really want to be comforted. And mm. so remembering that this is your way of resolving something. Maybe it's something mm. relational in your life. Maybe it's something, you know, that's bothering you. Maybe, mm. you know, what is it? Just being curious, not mm. critical, you're more likely to mm. find the answer.
I like that a lot. I think that just exploring it a little bit, I feel like, thank God, I feel less lucky, grateful. I'm working, I'm making money, I have a lovely boyfriend who's really invested in me and my growth and my well-being, and he's been really busy studying for his helicopter. He wants to be a helicopter pilot, and so the exam is finally coming up, and he's been really busy and preoccupied studying for that, and so I've just been trying to give him space, but maybe a part of me is just, like, frustrated, or even though he's there, maybe I feeling lonely, but is that, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to be needy either. So it's like, I don't know.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nicole, you just went from having needs to not wanting to be needy. And mm-hmm. you have to think about having mixed feelings. A part mm-hmm. of you is supportive of him and his helicopter mm-hmm. license stuff. And a part of you wishes mm-hmm. he was around more. A part feels this and a part feels that. So a part of you, is enjoying time to yourself, and a part of you is missing him. Don't mm-hmm. confuse having needs with being needy.
Okay. Okay. I like that. If you hear me typing, I'm just taking notes.
Well, you know, this will be posted on... It's made
IG?
It's posted.
Oh.
It's posted on the LA Talk Radio archives, but it's also posted as a podcast on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you get podcasts. So,
awesome. I didn't know that. That's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay.
So you don't have
like
to type. You can listen to it later.
Take it in. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I kind of take that in. And I was listening to the caller before me. I wasn't sure who it was, but she was talking about rosé and like,
Jenny.
It's not about the rosé. Yeah. So it's, I kind of found during quarantine, I don't know if it's become a habit, but I like to pour a glass of wine or two, like in the evenings, whether it's rosé or red. It's been rosé too lately. So I kind of like could relate to her. And I don't know if it's just become habit or if I'm turning to it for a specific reason or if I'm turning to it because I'm telling myself I shouldn't have it. So I don't know. That's kind of something I'm exploring as well.
What's it doing so for you? I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine with, you know, or so. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a glass of wine with dinner or at night or whatever, or two. But mm-hmm. it's... But is it, are you overly relying on it to relax? Then maybe...
I don't think so. I think it just reminds me of like summer. It's summer and I want to travel and I can't really travel right now. So it also just makes me feel like we're celebrating or happy or just, it just, I guess it's the emotions that I connect to it is like vacation.
Okay, so you associate it with vacation, the vacation that you're not having. And so it brings that sense of vacation and celebration and reward and all of that fun. It brings you that when you're deprived of having the actual experience.
Mm. So maybe I should just go have the actual experience, even if nobody wants to come, just have it by myself.
That might be hard to do right now.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where you go back to the helplessness of, hey, I want to travel and I can't. You can't. It's not safe. The world is shutting down. Can't even get on a plane and go anywhere.
Right.
Oh, I can't.
So maybe just being loving and compassionate and being like, hey, you know what? This is the closest alternative and it's okay to enjoy a glass or two of wine in the evening with dinner as long as I'm not abusing it or like looking for something in it, but just like to enjoy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
see how that's just there's no guilt about it. Then it's just, okay,
yeah.
I recognize why. It's the circumstances that we're in now. And
yeah.
You know, if I find myself having to, you know, having to have it every night and it's not good if I don't have it, then maybe I'll look at that as a problem if it goes on for 6 months. But right now, this is something that I'm doing and I know why, and I'm not abusing it. And it sounds like using it, not abusing
it. Yeah. And then Saturday, I went out with my girlfriend. We went to Elefante, which is like this restaurant bar in Santa Monica. And we ordered a bottle of wine and we, you know, had a few glasses. And I ended up making like not the best food decisions or choices. And so I've also kind of had a difficult time coming back from that. But I think I'm slowly, and with the gyms closing, you know, the gyms are closed now. It's even the like Pilates studios and stuff are closed. So I feel like I just want to exercise sometimes and it's hot outside. I don't know. I have like a trainer coming to my apartment, but I'll let you speak. Sorry.
Exercise because it's good for your body, not because you ate what you consider the wrong food at dinner. Hold those thoughts with you.
Okay.
And
okay.
Again, you can you'll be able to listen to this on Apple Podcasts or the LA Talk Radio archives. But I'm so glad that you called. And
thank you. Thank you for having me and please, for your words. I appreciate it.
Please call back and let me and us know how you're doing because mm-hmm. you're the weekly caller. And I've heard from a lot of people who said, what happened to Nicole? So it's really good to hear from you.
I'll be back. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. I know Carly Gash is waiting in the wings. Carly Gash? Carly Gash? She there? Okay, maybe Carly Gash dropped out. Well, Carly Gash, if you get this, please call back. So,
hello.
Oh, there she is. Hi, Carly Gash.
Hi, Dr. Nina. Good to hear. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I am like really different every day, and still this like keeping my own boundaries and putting myself first is still an issue for me. Like I'm working on it. So, like 2 days ago, I got into a minor accident, car accident, just somebody bumped me from behind. So the guy came out and he's like, "I'll pay you cash." And I'm like, "Okay, let me think first. Like, let me put myself together. I'm fine." But so he was like, "I have this, I'm scared sometimes when man like, sometimes I have this when they not shout at me, but like being aggressive or pushy." She was not. But then she was testing me, like, I said, "Okay, let me get your documents and then I'll call my friend. Then I'll tell you what I'm going to do." Because I didn't want to talk to him. He was kind of, I don't know, pushy. And then she said, "Let me talk to your friends. I'll give you cash." I said, "I don't know what, I cannot tell you anything. Just give me documents. Let's do everything how it's supposed to be done." And then I'm like, "Why would you even talk to my friends? It's me who is the car accident person who was in the accident. Like, why would you talk?" So he was trying to skip me to like, so it was weird. And then I noticed that I need to be less maybe apologetic or give less freedom to people in my life by just controlling to what I tell them. Because I have this kind of idea when I go out to the world, I still am like a kid, trusting everyone, thinking that everyone is good. And I really do think that people are good, even like the evil ones. They are good inside, but maybe they don't know how to like come on the brighter side or something. I'm just this kind of person who's very kind. But then, and I expect like good treatment or something, I don't know. But then some people, they just use this information and manipulate it against me. And then I have to deal with a whole bunch of their manipulation based on what I told them. And I'm like, oh my God, that really, well, I need to always be in awareness. But sometimes I really want to be surrounded by people where I don't have to be aware, where I can just relax and like be with them, trusting them.
Well, I do have
such friends in my life, but
those are called friends, and that's why we want to choose our friends carefully.
This is called what?
Friends. Right? You want to be surrounded by people who are respectful and with whom you feel safe and all of that. Those are friends.
Yes.
But sometimes in our lives we encounter someone like the guy who rear-ended you, who are maybe aggressive and pushy and a little bit misogynistic, if he's saying, "Let me talk to your friend,"
yeah,
instead
yeah,
of
yeah.
to you. And then we just say, "Oh, I know, like the guy who mask shamed me." No, that guy's not going to change his attitude. The guy who rear-ended you is not going to change his attitude. We have to just realize who we're dealing with and act accordingly, but not say, "Oh, see, people are scary. This person is a misogynistic guy." Not
That's
all guys.
True. He was very misogynistic.
Yeah.
He was like, I felt like, you know, the absolute message, like, you know, "You're a stupid woman. I'll talk to someone who like helps you." Like, so that was real unpleasant. And now I realize that it's an abuse, and it's like, and it's an abuse in its first place. Like, you're not considering me like as a person, capable, whatever. And again, in the same situation, what I felt was, again, I couldn't put myself first because I felt so sorry for the guy because he didn't seem very healthy person. You know how people are fit and some people are like have sagging eyes. You feel like something's going on, like internally, physically. And then he was a veteran, and he had this veteran on his license plate, and there was, and he had like handicap on his license plate, the sign. And I was like, oh no, I'm so sorry for the guy. And then I was like, I'd rather take cash and not cause problem for him. Like, wait a minute. First of all, I don't know what happened to my car. I need to check. Because last time when I had the same impact, my car was totaled because the guy, it was not big hit, but he hit it somehow wrong. And then the car was not drivable. So I said, wait a minute. It's my car. It's my safety. I need to check it.
Carly, gosh, this is great. This is great.
Honestly, I felt so bad in the very beginning. I was like, it's again the handicap situation where I cannot say no to my mom. And then he was handicapped and he's a veteran on top of that. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot do this to this guy, you know, thing. But then I'm like, and then what will I do if my car is whatever, not safe? Or what will happen if tomorrow I will wake up with like neck pain, I need to go to see a doctor or something? You're going to cover those expenses.
I love that you were able to catch the connection between this guy with the handicap sticker and your mom, who has a different
you
kind of hand.
Magical, you have this magical thing of turning it when you listen, somehow I become smart. You know?
I don't think it's about me listening that brings out your smartness. I think you're smart and you just, and as you talk and this is what I mean about being curious when you, and not critical. When you're critical, you just, you know, you might have said something like, why do I always give up myself to take care of other people, even this stranger? What's wrong with me? Then you wouldn't get anywhere. But you said to yourself, huh, why am I doing this? Why am I automatically putting him first above me? Oh, yeah, this reminds me of my mother. So I see how I was sort of conditioned and programmed to give up me to take care of them. And you caught it because you were curious. So pat on the back on you.
Thank you, pat on the back. And I only now realize it, but back then when I was thinking and I made decision to go like with insurance, I couldn't analyze it like this, like I did today. And like you said, but I was thinking, you know what? I just need to take care of myself. I understand that the guy's a veteran and handicapped, but I hope that he is like well insured, and I hope that his veteran, whatever organization, will take care of him. I hope that he's supported. Well, at least his car is like huge and nice. So he seems to be like doing not so bad. So I'm like,
and Carly, gosh, take care of he hit you. His car hit your car. You forget about you when you're talking about this. It's like, well, I hope he has good insurance. I hope he this. I hope he that. Well, he hit you. He hit you. And you get to think about you. I hope you have good insurance. I hope you didn't get whiplash. I hope you are okay.
Thank you so much. It's an excellent catch. Thank you so much. And it comes back to when I called you 2 or 3 weeks ago, talking to like, you know, when I know that people are in trouble, like my friend whose daughter is fighting cancer now, or my mom who's handicapped. When I know that people have some like excuse in life, I'm like, okay, I need to like get down or whatever and like sacrifice myself. I'm still exploring this thing, want to give it away, like liberate from it, and yeah, again appeared. And they were grateful for the situation that it came up, and now I can see that it's deeply rooted in me, and I really need to work on it. Really, like, stop caring too much about everyone, and like, or like at work, hey, people pay me that much, I need to take care of them that much, not just give my whole soul, mind, and everything,
and start taking care of you.
Yes, and of course, as a result that day I binged, and I was on, I'm sorry to say, but it was the first day of my period. I was in pain already, and he hit me. It was so bad. As a result, I like overate. I binged that day, and then I said, I know I've been in trouble, and today I used old mechanism to soothe myself, and I wasn't very harsh on myself. I felt sorry that I did it because I want new behavior, but then I said, you know, I've been to accident. Of course, it affected me. This is how far my analyzing went that day.
You can't see. You can't see me, but I'm so happy right now, because, or maybe you can see me. You might be watching on Instagram. I'm so happy right now because it doesn't matter that you binge. That's not my focus, and must not be your focus. What matters is you didn't harshly do that thing you talked about a few weeks ago. See, with that second voice, stayed with the I. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know why I did it. And I know why I did it, and I understand, and I have to be compassionate with myself. This is the progress, and the more that you do that, the more you support yourself.
God, this is the progress. Thank you.
This is the progress, because the less you're going to binge, because you're going to be able more and more and more to be supportive of yourself, instead of giving everything to some random stranger who rear ends you. You can give it to yourself.
Right? I hope so.
You're doing it. I know so. I'll hold the hope for you.
Thank you so much. And then they continued that yesterday I got some news from Kazakhstan, from my home city. The situation with corona is so bad there. People are dying. Literally somebody said people are dying like flies. They are just falling. And there are not enough medical personnel. Many medical doctors, they just took vacations because they're scared to go to work because people are dying like this. Like in every apartment building, there are 4 or 5 people dying. And then they are calling the medical students, those who haven't finished their studies yet, because they don't have medical personnel. And it's so bad. And two of my relatives died. I just found out it yesterday. It was so hard, honestly, on top of that. It just hit me with now my people are dying. And although it's hard, and I know everyone's facing it, but in Kazakhstan, it's hard, you know. It's not like there are less resources and people are struggling. And I talked to them, like, the whole day yesterday, the whole night, and tonight in the morning, helping them, like, at least, like, soothe them. And I noticed that it's just hard, you know, when your people around you suffer and you cannot do anything with that. It's just really hard, honestly.
Yes.
And I feel thank God I didn't feel guilty for being here in America and to some extent being safe. It's still everyone like this weak in front of this virus. Anyone can get sick, but at least here I know you can get treatment or whatever. Over there, people just don't come. People just die in hospitals. Not enough hands, you know. Not enough hands to handle them.
Carla Gash, I'm so sorry that your country of origin and your you've lost family members, and you know, to your point, the helplessness over it and coming to terms with that and dealing with grief and fear and all of that is so important. And I just hope that you can take care of yourself during this difficult time. Continue taking care of yourself. Unfortunately, I've got to go because we're now over our time, but I am so glad to hear that you are shifting just a little bit, shifting that critical, mean voice and cultivating a kinder, more compassionate stance with yourself. That's everything. That's everything.
Thank you so much. Your acknowledgement means a lot to me, because sometimes, not very often, I don't see my own progress. Like, it still feels like I'm encountering the same thing. But now, once you said, that's true. I'm a little kinder to myself in my head. Because before, like 3 years ago, oh my God, it was so rough.
And even listen, go back and listen to a show from maybe 6 weeks ago and listen now. I think you're going to hear a difference. So thank you, Carla Gash. Thank you for being part of the show and sharing your heart and your
thank you, Dr. Nina, for existing, being, and so generously sharing with us your wisdom and your really working knowledge. Thank you so much. I'm forever grateful.
Thank you, Carla Gash. Call me next week. Let us know how you're doing.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye for now. And that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I am here doing the show live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And you can listen later or watch later. I also post this on YouTube. Break free, Break Free from Binge Eating with Dr. Nina. That's my YouTube channel. You could see these episodes here as well, there as well. And everyone, please be safe, be healthy, and be curious, not critical. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.